Okay.
The reason why I wanted to, David to be on the call is because yesterday he mentioned something, and I shared it with the group on the chat. We keep saying that Bikurim is 1/60th, just like Pei is 1/60th, and Bikurim is 1/60th. So David asked, Reb David asked, what does that mean, 1/60th? It's 1/60th of the whole field? That's what Bikurim is? Let's suppose you have, you know, if you have a 600-acre field, so 1/60th would be 10 acres. You're going to bring 10 acres for Bikurim? That's ridiculous. It says you'll kach to hatenam yadav, you take the basket and you bring it in. What kind of basket? You're going to need truckloads of food to bring in for Bikurim. And I wasn't sure what the answer was. I was fumping around and I didn't know really what I was talking about. But Baruch Hashem, I found that the Bir Halacha from Chaim Kanievsky, Hilchos Bikurim Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, speaks out explicitly all your tainus, David. And he says, I just want to quote to his what he says over here. Ha'echad mishishim nechshav mimasha hoya be'ez shabicher. The 1/60th is talking about the time that the first buds, I guess, that bloomed, right? Kigon, in bichru samach yitolechad, if you have 60 blossoms, you take one blossom, 1/60th of the first blossoms. In bichru sheish meos yitol eser, if there's 600 blossoms, take 10 blossoms. The yesh shalomah dechol sheifim mashiyah besof hagidol, it can't be you're taking 1/60th of what's eventually going to grow. Do we know you're going to come a year? How do you know what's going to grow? You have no idea until the end of the harvest. Vim yatzliach kol hasada olo, or if it's going to be matzliach. The gamasvar came who the ilav came ishi yesh lo kuf sados. If a person has 100 fields, yitzarach lohavi kronos lazor. He's going to have to bring wagon trains to the azara, which is very unlikely. Harei tzarach lahachniso dafkal ksefo. It says you're supposed to bring it on your shoulder, right? Lahanifam, and to wave them. Lahanifam, tzad him his mech, and put them next to his mech. How are you going to do that in Gagolos Meleos with full wagon fulls? L'chein nirah dein tzarach itin ala echad misamach mimah shabicher. 1/60th from the first blossom. So it's exactly what you said, Yashar Koyach, on putting us in the right direction. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to go right to the Gemara. We're on Daf Tesvav again. Masisa de Beishamayhi, de Beishamayom, im Hefker, aniyim Hefker. Okay, so what we said was, let me make sure I'm on the right page here. Here we are. So it said in the Mishnah, it said, lo'aylam. It said, lo'aylam, a person always gives payah, can be moistened on the payah. So lo'olam sounds like I can make a decision subsequent to my giving the payah the first time to decide to add on to the payah later on. Now, that is problematic because l'chora, that would only be, that's only going to work if it works with tam hefker, because as payah, it's certainly not going to work because you already yotze payah with the first nesina that you gave with the first 60th. So the Gemara identifies the Tan of our Mishnah must be a Beis Shammai who holds Hefker, La'aniyim is also Hefker. It's Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Shammai holds that, Beis Shammai holds that you can make it Hefker even if it's just for Aniyim. And this Peah is, of course, only being set aside for the Aniyim. So that's what this line means. Next, Noitam Nagram Vezareya. So it says that you could take from the garden and plant. And the Mishnah said, "Diri Rabbi Kiva, this is Rabbi Kiva's sheet." Remember, we said in Machlokas, just to recap, Rabbi Kiva, and we said that the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva held up until Miruach, you could take from the grain and use it as seeds. And according to the Chachamim, no, even before Miruach, you can't. What's the same? Even before Miruach, you can't use the seeds. That's what the Chacham held. Now, the Gemara says, Asher Rabbi Kiva, Chanios B'nei, what does he announce? Chanun, B'nei Chanun. Rabbi Kiva comes out like these shops are the people of Chanun. Now we're on Tesvav Amabes, the Tana. This is the Bryson that says, of what the people of Hanun did. They didn't do good things. Lama charvu chaniyos bnei Hanun shol shom lach shalachar beis hamikdash. Why did the store, the shops of bnei Hanun, why were they destroyed 3 years prior to the korban? What did they do to deserve korban? So it says shahu motzin es haperos mechal hamaisras. They used to, they had a legal loophole to make it so that there was not a fee of miser. Because they dashed like this. Aser to aser, it says, they're only quoting the beginning of the pasuk. It says, aser to aser is kol tvuas zarecha. So that means what? That you have to take miser from your produce, right? But if I buy the produce, it's not my produce, it's someone else's produce.
Sounds like
heter
for Shemitah.
So it's a heter for miser.
Yeah.
For miser, right. So it's not mine, it's someone else's. I don't have to take the miser from it. And it says, V'yachalta, you take miser from your zarecha. And then it says, what's the end of the pasuk? It says, V'yachalta, what's it say? The next pasuk. V'yachalta, then you're going to go ahead and you're going to eat it. So that means you only take miser if you're going to eat it. So even the farmer himself, he doesn't have to take miser unless he's going to bring it to his kitchen to eat it. But if he sells it, he's not eating it. So I'm potter from miser. So that's what they dashed. They had a way, these people from Beni Chanan, they had a way to make it so no one has to ever take miser.
So the guy buying it doesn't have to do miser?
Guy doesn't have to buy it because it's not zaracha. It's not his produce. He didn't own the land that produced it. So it's not called zaracha. And it's not the farmer doesn't have to take it because it's not v'achalta, and that's what they dashen. And on a the oraisa level, let's assume for a moment on the oraisa level they were correct that you're talking not chayiv and maestros on things that you buy and sell. But the chachamim said that that nonetheless you are required to take maestros anyway, and they ignored the rabbanon. This is what we're going to learn. Pashup here is that these people ignored what the rabbi said, kind of like the tzedukim, like right. But it's like the tzedukim, and they went on the Torah level, and as a result of violating the rabbinic directive, right? As a result of that, their chanios were carved 3 years earlier than the Beis Hamikdash. That's what the Yerushalmi is saying. Now we're trying to explain Rabbi Kiva holds like them. Now, when we say Rabbi Kiva holds like them, of course, it doesn't mean Rabbi Kiva agrees with their position. Just to read it to you, inside over here, let's see, where does he say it nicely over here? One second. I like the way he said over here. Yeah. In Rash Cirillo, I like the way he writes it in Hebrew over here. Okay, let's start from the second line. V'achalta prat l'mocher. Aser ta aser kishetochal, yotza ha-mocher shenu ochel. It says when you eat it, but not if you sell it. L'dasa v'kiva ha-chinami dashinu, v'achalta v'lo zareya. And Rabbi Kiva is also saying what? It's only when you eat it, not when you plant it. Again, Rabbi Kiva is using the seeds to plant, right? He's taking it out of the pile of wheat before they did the miruach, and he's using it to plant. And why is that potter from Trumas and Maestros? Because it says v'yachalta, only if you eat it do you have to take Maestros. But if you're going to plant it, you don't have to take Maestros. V'kasa Rabbeinu Shimshon. Now the Rash writes, d'loy ratza loymed Rabbi Kiva sover kavasayo l'paitra na'filu min rabbanon. We're not saying that Rabbi Kiva holds like the people from the stores to say they don't have to take it at all. The chas v'shalom, that he would hold like them, hatare masker oison lignai, they're mentioned in a very derogatory way, right? They had their stores were horif, right? So it can't be that we're saying that he holds like them. Elo, why do we say he holds like those people? L'hochi komar, asid rebekiva kahi b'raisa, the magno of the d'chanius mekonon, that he holds like that b'raisa who was Magana, that meaning he spoke derogatorily about them. The Sova de Mishemirach, Oslos Re Atri Asr Min Rabbanon. He holds, right, that after Miruach, then you're talking going to be also the plant. That's going to be a dendra bonon. Even though you're not eating it, that we exclude mocher from that same thing. In other words, he holds, right? Venerally, the drashas ben kanon kushtehi. He held that their drasha on a deraisa level is correct and is truth. Kushta is correct. When they shemidu divreim al din tara harvu, because they went like a din tara, that's why they were harv. Okay, so this is basically. So we're explaining the Gemara. The Gemara says Rabbi Kiva holds like the people from Bnei Kanon. He means that in terms of the way he dashes the pasuk on the deraisa level, the alchalta is taka. It is going to exclude person who is Zoreya. And that's why he held, if you're Zoreya before me Ruach, it's no problem at all. Okay?
Midrabanan,
it's only going to be a problem after, hold on. No, at Midrabanan, there's no din. Rabbi Kiva held that Rabbanan were not machmer before me Ruach. That's the machlokes Rabbi Kiva.
Yes.
That's the machlok that we keep on the chacham, right? Okay. Very good. Vayitu gefort. Next part of the Mishnah, it talks about the Kohen and the Levi that they buy produce. Remember, we said that they can keep it for themselves if they buy it before Miruach. If they buy it after Miruach, then they have to give it away. So why do they have to? What's going on here? Why can't they keep it for themselves? A Levi should be able to keep his own Meiser, Kohen should be able to keep his own Truma. Why do they have to give it away? That's what the Yerushalmi is going to deal with now. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says, or in 15b2, if you're in the English, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Knos Konsulahen. Even though the Yerushalmi is now using a language of Knos, we don't mean a penalty in the classic sense of like when someone steals something and they shecht it, they have to pay, dalad behei as a knas or kefal as a knas. This means that it was like we didn't want them to go and do things which would cause them to have an undue advantage over everybody else. Because after all, if I've got produce and 12% at least is going to have to be given away by myself, so that means I'm not going to be able to make profit off of that. That means I can only sell 88% of my produce, right, that I produced. But if I have a buyer who will pay for a portion of that 12%, I'd rather sell it to him. Because if I sell it to him, I'll make more money. So they have an advantage over all other buyers. So Yisrael doesn't have that advantage. Yisrael won't be able to eat that 12%. But a Kohen and a Levi, they will have access to that. The Kohen, after all, can eat the Meiser also. So the Levi can't eat the 2%, but he can eat the 10%. So they have an advantage. They can buy this. And so the Chacham were afraid that they would have this advantage. So that's what it means over here. Knas konsulahem shaliyu constantly gets lagrons. We don't want them running into the granary and making offers to the owners. Okay. Next, Tabach. This is another example. Here we're talking about now the Zrov l'chayam v'akeva. That's also matnas kahuna. When you shecht an animal, you have to give a certain part of it to the Kohen. So Tavach Kohen, if you have a butcher and he slaughters animals to sell the meat, Chavraya b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Chevra in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Pata lo yishavas achas. He's exempt from giving the Zroach l'chaim v'keva to the other Kohanim for 1 week. In other words, he can keep the gifts. He can keep these gifts for 1 week. After that, he has to give them away. It's a little strange, what's with this 1 week?
1 week a year.
Let's hold off on that question.
What does that accomplish?
Let's hold on 1 second, okay? We're going to say in a second. Amar Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi said, Azolus l'daroima, I went to the south of Eretz Yisrael. Shmas Rav Chanan Avid Reb Shimon B'Shem Reb Yeshua Ben Levi. So he heard this over, said over the name of Reb Yeshua Ben Levi. Patalei Shabbos Achas, again, he said the same idea, they practiced him for 1 week. So now, what's the reason? Reb Yudon Medami Leila Hadon Reb Yochanan. So Reb Yudon went ahead and compared this rule to this din that we just said in the name of Reb Yochanan, right? We just said in the name of Reb Yochanan that the reason for the Kohanim and Levium not being able to hold on to that truma and maaser for themselves is because of knas konsulam chachamim. So over here, it's the same reasoning. Knas konsul bahem. So they imposed a penalty on the kohanim and levim. Over here, from a kohen, right? We're talking about a kohen now. That they gave a penalty to the kohen that he should not be able to keep the Zerua L'chaim V'kev for himself, because then he'll have an undue advantage. Because after all, remember, after this one thing to keep in mind, after I give the Zerua L'chaim V'kev to the kohen, he can feed it to anyone. It's not designated only for a kohen. Anyone can eat that. So if we're going to let the shochet, who's a kohen, keep it, he can now go ahead and sell it. So he's going to be able to have cheaper prices for his meat than Wasserman Lemberger, because Wasserman Lemberger is going to have to give away his Zerua L'chaim V'kev away as a matnas kahuna, because he's not a kohen. I assume he's not a kohen. And so therefore, the margins require him to raise the price in order to make a profit. So again, this is the same idea. We want to have a fair market out there. We don't want to have the kohanim running the other people out of business, so to speak.
An unfair advantage.
So now the question that the Gemara is going to ask, which is bothering everybody here, what's with the 1 week then? If that's the case, then what's up with 1 week? It should even be just like the Levi and the Kohen by the Maestris were not allowed to keep it at all. They had to give it all away. They didn't let them keep the Maestris for a week. So the same thing should be here as well, right? So the Gemara says like this. Now the Gemara expands on this. But does the Gemara answer this question? Number 17. So number 17, he's got a couple of things. He's got an A, B, and a C here. Let's take a quick look at it. So the Rishonim Tukul 132b give three reasons for this. Rashi maintains that this obligation is actually biblical. The obligation of what? The obligation for, let's see here. The Torah's exemption of Kohanim for having these, to give these gifts only to a Kohen who slaughters animals for his own consumption, not to a Kohen who slaughters to sell to others. In other words, by rights, he should really be obligated the first week as well. Right? So in other words, we're saying that since this meat is being slaughtered for sale, so he really doesn't deserve this meat at all, even on the biblical level. This is what Rashi's saying. However, so what's the difference between 1 week? Since he has yet to establish a going business and does not know whether he will be able to sell the meat to others, he slaughters the animals with the understanding that it might be for his own personal consumption as well. In other words, if I slaughter the meat and I can't sell it, I guess I'll have to put it in my chalit this Shabbos. In which case, it's my own. If it's my own, I don't have to give Zerua L'chaim V'kev. So this is it. So basically, what this 1 week means sounds like what you're saying, the first week that he's open for business ever. That's what it sounds like from here, right? Therefore, he's still eligible for the exemption. So that's reason number one. That's
It says here, the first week that they start shechting the animal.
That they start shechting the animal, yeah. So that'll be A. B, Tosfos says they disagree with Rashi. They say, no, a Kohen never has a biblical obligation to give away these matnas kahuna, even if he's shechting it to sell. Disagrees with Rashi. But, so what's the difference between 1 week and several weeks? The rabbis were concerned butchers would take Kohanim as minor partners in order to exempt themselves from these gifts. So they decreed that a Kohen who's a butcher must give away the gifts. Nevertheless, during the first week, or it says 3 weeks in the Bavli, when it is not yet obvious that he's a commercial butcher, they didn't apply the decree. So that sounds like it's not obvious, it's not nicker that they're in the business for a week. After the week, it's nicker they're in the business. I don't know. C, Ron's second explanation says that they were concerned if a Kohen butcher were allowed to keep the gifts for himself and sell them, people who do not know these are Kohen would be koshed him. It's an Indian of a shad. So what's the difference between 1 week and more? During the first week, it's not yet widely known he's a commercial butcher. So therefore, in other words, the shad does not raise its ugly head until after a week. So here you have these different reasons. You know,
he's still not giving it to Matanos. He's holding it for himself.
Yes.
Why is there still a shot that he's...
If I see him selling it, not giving it away. If I see him sell the Matnas Kahuna, I'm going to think he's doing the wrong thing. That was supposed to go to a coin. I don't know yet that he's a coin necessarily. I don't know, you know. So I'm going to be questioning him. So these are all trying to figure out Rabbanan Gzeiros. It's not very easy, as you can see. Okay, let's go on. So that's footnote 17. That's critical to understanding this business about the 1 week. Chelveni Kohen, concerning Kohen who is a shopkeeper. So this is different than the way it's different over here. If you look at the previous page, then it's just a 15b2. There we called it Tabuch Kohen. You notice that? So now we're calling it Chelveni Kohen. The difference between Tabuch and Chelveni is just this. The Tabuch shechs and sells in the same spot. The Chelveni shechs in one spot and sells in another spot. Okay? That's just so you understand the difference between the two. Okay? So Chelveni Kohen, if you have a Kohen who's a shopkeeper and he sells meat in the marketplace, Rabbi Yudan Amar, Paitron Loi Shabbos Achas will give him an exemption for 1 week to giving away this roll of a chayan. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, ain't Paitron Loi Shabbos Achas. He doesn't get that 1 week exemption. In other words, we just said you have a 1 week exemption by the Tabach Kohen. Do you say that also by the Chelveni Kohen? It's a machlokas. So the Gemara asks, I'll die to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, who says we don't give him the week, ma ben Chelveni, ma ben Tabach. What's the difference between one and the other? The Gemara answers, Chelveni yochol laharim. A shopkeeper can deceive. That means, because what they used to do is they used to go from town to town and set up a little butcher stand. And so each time he goes to a town, he can say, this is my first week in business. So we would never know that he's been open for business for 10 years or for 20 weeks. You only allow this 1 week exemption is only for the first week you're open for business. So therefore, since he's a chemveni and he can go from town to town and fool people, so therefore we don't allow him the 1 week at all. Took it away. That's Rabbi Yossi saying. Tabach and Yechol Harim. Tabach is stationary. He's got his butcher shop there. He's got his whole thing there with his Shlacht Caleb and the Bahamas. He's not going from town to town with all that stuff. Right? So that's
one. The
meat's going to spoil. Yeah. That's Stamakasha. Yeah.
And that's why he's not going from one place to another. He's in one place.
All right. Somebody asked me this question. They asked, there's no refrigeration in those days. What good is that meat going to be after a week anyway? Okay. Tony, so now it says in this Braisa that Rebbe and Yehuda Hanasi, we're going to say in a second what Rebbe and Yehuda Hanasi is talking about. It's going to come in a Braisa in the next page. So the Braisa says that they did not argue al halokeh peres mechubar min hagoy. If someone buys Paris that are attached to the ground from a guy, so you have a guy in Eretz Yisrael who's growing tefuah, and it's still attached to the ground, and I go to the guy and I buy the tefuah from him. That's no question that is chayav and maisus, that's chayav and maisus. In other words, this Tana holds, ain't, this is a famous machlokas, whether yesh kinyan la'akam la'afkiyam midei maisus or ain't kinyan la'goy la'afkiyam midei maisus. You're familiar with that, right? So this Braisa obviously holds Ein Kinyan L'goy Lav Kimi De Meiser, and therefore the tefuah that grows in his field is Chayav HaMeisers. So the guy, right? So the Jew that buys that tefuah that grew in his Rishos is Chayav HaMeisers. After all, when he's going to go ahead and harvest it and do Miruach, and it's going to come to Deki of Meisers, that happens in the Rishos of Yisrael. And certainly, some people are not even gurus this because it's such a partial nizach. The Gra takes this out. But if it was a yid that worked for him and did all the avodah in the field, also the same thing. And the other way, if your person were to buy halokeach, we're now on page 16a. We're going to try to finish the parak now. And that if you have what? If you buy the peiros that are tolos from a goy, right, that's certainly going to be Pturus Menah Maisers. They're not arguing about that. Because at the time it becomes Miruach, it belonged to the Goy. When did Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda Nasi argue? They argued we're talking about someone who buys what? We're talking about an Oni who buys, it's the year of Maiser Oni, right? Every third year of the Shemitah and sixth year of the Shemitah instead of Maiser Sheni, it's a Maiser Oni year. And Maiser Oni, by the way, remember, until you take off Maiser Oni, it has a halacha like Tevel. You can't eat the Tevel. You have to take off Maisers, it's Tevel, and you have to take off Maiser Oni, and it's Tevel until you remove all Maisers, right? Now, that Maiser Oni has to be given to an Oni. Now, let's suppose an Oni buys a Tevel that had Maiser Rishon taken off of it, but still had to have Maiser Oni taken off of it. Can he take the Maiser Oni out of that and keep it for himself? That's the question. That's when they had a machlokas. He buys the pears which are tolish already from his friend, the Jewish friend, Mishnais Maiser Oni. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds that the Oni cannot keep it for himself, whether he's rich, whether he's poor, he has to give it away to the Oni. Rabbi says, no, Asher Maiser Miyare, an Asher you can take it away. Oni ain't Maiser Miyare, an Oni can keep it for himself. My time, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, why does Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi hold that even an Oni has to give it away? Because just like a person is not zocha in lechet shechah teya, meaning if you're an Oni and you own a field, it doesn't matter that you're an Oni. You can't go into your own field and collect lechet shechah teya. It has to be given away. Ta'azov, you have to leave it away. So just like he can't take his own lechet shechah teya, kachlo yiskim a maiser Oni shalo. So therefore, you can't take your own maiser Oni. He felt that stands to reason. One follows the other. Now, my time with the Rebbe. That sounds like a reasonable thing. So why does Rebbe hold that he does not have to give it away? Lekat Shechon Pei is different. Why? Ain't on Toivlin. Those Lekat Shechon Pei, it does not create Tevel. If you didn't give Lekat Shechon Pei, it doesn't create an Isra Kilo on the remaining Tvua. But Kamaiser Oni Shehu Tovel, as opposed to Maiser Oni, which is Tovel. So what's the difference whether it's Tovel or not Tovel? When did it become Tevel? It became Tevel when the first guy owned it. The first guy that the Oni bought it from, when he had taken off, let's say, Maiser Rishon, and now he sells it to the Oni. At this point, that pile of Tvua is Tevel. And the Oni can't eat it. No one can eat it because it's Tevel. So you see that there's already a shame. You have to look at it as if the Maiser Oni is already in that Taruvus. It's like Ma'urav with the rest of the food. So there was already a shame Maiser Oni on that before it even came into the Rishus of the Oni. Therefore, the Oni can take it for himself because he's not taking his own. He's taking someone else's Maiser Oni.
What
did we do with that? Well, I wasn't asked that. How about the Gemara? What about Kasha? So the Gemara says, "My time with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi." So what's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi going to do with that? That sounds like a good thing. So the Gemara says, "Rishon Knas." Now we're back to Knas again. What's going to happen? Just like we penalized the Kohen and the Levi who buys Tevel to say he has to give away Truma and Meiser. So the same thing. He says that a poor person who buys something which is Tevel the Meiser Ani has to give it away. They didn't want to give the Oni a chance to go begging for Oni. My time with the Rebbe, what's Rebbe's ruling for saying you could buy it without giving it away? Why don't you give him the Knas? And for the Gemara, Asher Yesh B'yad Olikach. And Asher, he has the wherewithal to go and run to the granaries and buy it off the owners, but the Oni doesn't have any money. Asher, Ain't B'yad Olikach, he doesn't have any money. I don't have to be the Chacham aren't worried he's going to go run to buy things. That's not. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer. What's the basis of the machlokas? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds matzi hulalovos, that it's common for a poor person to borrow money and therefore have money to buy this. And Rabbi Omer, Eino Motzi Lovos, he's not going to be able to borrow money. It won't be that easy for him to borrow money. So Hadron Alach Elu Dvarim. And with this, we end the first parak.
Recording stopped.
Yes.